Welcome to Coffee Table Mythos. I'm Eliza.
And I'm Leah.
Grab your favorite beverage and let's talk myths. Leah, what you drinking?
Let me look in my crystal ball.
Oh my god.
And see if I can figure out what you made, and then you tell me if I'm right.
Okay.
I'm thinking it is a Franken coffee.
Yes.
Made with some Folgers.
Yes.
Made with some Dunkin' Caramel de Leche.
Yes.
A little bit of Boonesboro coffee.
Yes.
And just a dash of cinnamon.
Yes. Gives you the flavor. Aside from the fact that you also put a lot of creamer in your coffee. Which creamer are you using today? Because sometimes, normally she uses caramel, but she's changed it up on me.
I have French vanilla coffee creamer because our local, it's like a warehouse store where you can get stuff in bulk. They stopped carrying my caramel, and they only had either French vanilla, hazelnut, or pumpkin spice.
She hates pumpkin spice. I like pumpkin spice.
But you don't drink creamer like that.
But I don't drink creamer like that. So, like, you know, to each their own.
And yes, I know it's pronounced hazelnuts, but I like to say hazelnuts just to be silly.
Yeah, yeah. We have to have fun with these things. And for all those listening, thinking, oh, warehouse, you must be talking about Costco. No, we're not talking about Costco. On the east coast of the United States, they have some place called BJ's, and we're not talking about the pizzeria slash bar, even though I love that place. It's a wholesale warehouse that's very much like Costco, but they don't sell food. They used to, but they don't anymore. And I'm sad about it.
Well, I mean, they sell food that you can bring home, but, like, they used to have, like, this little eatery at the front where you could get, like, really cheap hot dogs that were really good and, like, mini pizzas.
Have you been to Costco?
No.
My heart just hurt a little bit.
You have to have a membership!
I know, but, like,
my family only ever had memberships to BJ's.
I'm just saying.
Hashtag not an ad.
I'm just saying, we've got to kind of remedy this at some point because their hot dogs are on point. They're hot dogs. You know, you wouldn't eat their pizza because you don't eat pizza sauce.
Yeah.
Which is sad because you can get this giant pizza. It's literally like the size this big. Okay, it's not that big, but it's pretty big.
She's gesturing like larger than her body.
It's $10. It used to be $10. I don't know if the price went up, but when my family wasn't doing so hot, we could still at least get that pizza. Anywho, very large tangent.
Yeah. So,
do you want to talk about what cup you're drinking out of?
Yes, I do. So one of our listeners, who is also a family member, got us mugs, and they say a little bit different per person, but mine says, I don't need Google. My sister knows everything. I wonder which sister would send me
a mug
that said that.
And to be frank, literally, all of our sisters have been coming out of the woodwork and sending us mugs since we started this podcast.
Yeah. We already had a mug problem.
Yeah. Now we're like, how do we need to get some kind of storage thing, like a fun one, though. Like, because we have our one family from California sent us like a stackable mug container. Mm-hmm. I think they sent it to us like either last year or the year before.
We haven't used those yet in the podcast.
No, we haven't. We need to use them still. Anyways, if we had, like, one for, like, hanging above, that might be dangerous, but it would be cute looking.
Well, our current one that has all the ones we use on, like, a regular rotation is actually made out of a cabinet door, because my sister that actually sent the mugs was redoing her kitchen, and the house was a model home back in the day. So the cabinets were actually made out of real wood instead of that, like, pressed particle board crap. And when she was getting new cabinets put in, she had all the cabinet doors off, and I was like, I can craft with these. So I took them, with permission, I took them, and I've made all kinds of signs. Like, I turned them sideways, and I painted them black, and then I used vinyl lettering ones that say, like, save Dobby, and you put, like, your clothes on them, or, like, lost socks in your laundry room. And then There's some that have hooks for coffee mugs, and that's what's upstairs. So, like, 14 coffee mugs just hang as decoration.
All the time.
All the time.
We do clean out our mugs before we use them. Like, noting that, because our dog is very long-furred, and her fur gets everywhere, so we have to, like, constantly clean. Like, I can't imagine not going a week without having to vacuum.
Yeah.
It's just, every Friday night I get home from work, and I'm like, I've got to clean, otherwise I'm going to go nuts. Like,
every time I brush her, which is frequently, I get, like, a basketball-sized ball of fur off of her.
Yeah, and I don't know which breeder did this, but they were, like, trying to advertise for the same breed of dog we have.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, all you have to do is take this industrial-sized blower.
And a special comb.
And a special comb, and you blow them, like, once or twice a year, and all the fur, that's all the fur stuff you have to deal with. And I'm like, that is a bunch of bullshit. I have lived with this dog for quite a while, and I know that's bullshit.
But if it helps you sell your doggos.
I mean,
whatever works.
Whatever. I'm sorry, I'm just a little salty about that. Sorry, we're going real off topic, but...
What mug are you using?
I'm using my Witch's Brew mug. It's like a little mini cauldron, and it makes me so happy.
My social media programs that I use are very good at adapting. So they've realized that I like cauldrons, and they keep trying to get me to buy these beautiful cauldron mugs that have, like, the little feet for it to stand on, and then the handle, and... They're, like, iridescent colored. They don't say Witch's Brew on them, but they're obviously cauldrons.
But they're still cauldrons!
I know! And they have, like, there was an iridescent white one, there was an iridescent blood red one, and then they had a black one, which I would have bought if it was iridescent, but it was just shiny black. And I was, like, so close. But it's trying real hard. There were ones the other day from a different company that had, like, moons on them, and they were in purple, and I was like, so close. We don't need any more mugs. That's my chant right now. I don't need to buy us more mugs.
You know what we need to do? We need to, like, if we ever actually get our own house that we buy, we need to have, like, a mug room.
Or just, like, better storage in the kitchen.
Oh, yeah. A giant kitchen would be so nice.
I saw this person. It was a funny post. I think the daughter was actually the one who was posting about it, but her mom's first husband, so the poster's blood father, was always complaining about the mom's coffee mug problem. And they got divorced, and now she has a new husband who actually built her this thing that, like, tacks onto the edge of the wall, and it's little coffee cup-sized cubbies.
What?
Yeah. Like, it would be perfect, except we'd have to build, like, it two wide instead of one wide.
Yeah.
Because we already have too many coffee mugs.
Now, here's the funny thing, okay? I'm going to shout out to Casper, because I know Casper has the same problem. She has a giant array of mugs. And if we ever get... Well, we're going to eventually have her come out here. But when we do, when we have her as a guest on our show, we'll have to have her talk about her extensive mug collection. But I just remember that she had so many mugs that she had to have, like, bins and bins of it in storage in her parents' garage.
Oh my goodness. And she might have us beat.
She probably does have us beat, because she was explaining some of the mugs she has, and I'm like, oh my sweet lord. The array. Like, that was one of the things I loved about staying with them, was I always had a mug of coffee to drink at any time of day. And the array of types of coffee I had to drink were fantastic. But they're also the reason I also got back into liking ice cream.
Yeah.
It's their fault. It's a good problem, I think. But it's whatever.
Well, and we also don't just use them for coffee. We use them to hold, obviously, if you've seen our Instagram.
Yeah.
We have lots of different types of art supplies.
Yes.
So there are just mugs around the house that... we don't want to put away, but we also don't drink from, that have pens, and then one will have pencils, and then one will have paintbrushes.
Yep.
And it's, one has lip gloss, like.
Like, it's, we use these mugs, like, they're not just for coffee. They're not just for coffee, and they're not just for tea, because we do use them sometimes for tea as well.
Mm-hmm.
Also, on the note of cauldrons, my office, we're having a cubicle art competition, basically. Like, creative, turn your cubicle into harvest themed to be politically correct, because they can't say Halloween there. And I started bringing in cauldrons at work, and the front desk lady was like, I'm starting to get a little concerned. So I've got like all these cauldrons and everyone's like, oh my goodness. But then we painted this whole backdrop yesterday. So it's like literally covering our whole art supply section in our kitchen right now.
Finishing drying, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm really excited about it. I will at least say that you did most of the painting. Because you are just a fantastic painter.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Anyways, off topic. This week we're doing Japanese. We're going to talk about not a harvest festival. Because when this occurs in their time of the year, mm-hmm. it's like summertime.
Right. August?
Well, it depends on the region.
Oh.
We'll get into that. But the actual name of it is Obon, also called Bon. It evolved from a Buddhist Confucian custom to a family reunion holiday. It's been celebrated in Japan for over 500 years.
Wow.
And it traditionally includes a dance called the Bon Odori. And the starting dates vary in different regions of Japan because of the lunar calendar changing to the Gregorian calendar at the beginning of the Meiji era. And localities in Japan responded differently. So, like, there's three different times of Obon. So there's one in July based on the solar calendar around the 15th. And that's in the eastern Japan, like, so the Kanto region, Tokyo, Yokohama, Tohoku. And then there's an August one that's based on the lunar calendar, which is the most commonly celebrated one.
Okay.
And then there's the Kyubon, which is the old Bon, which is the 15th day on the 9th month of the lunar calendar, which differs each year, usually between August 8th and September 7th.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Are they single-day festivals?
No, actually they're not. And there's been exceptions, though, in like 2008 and 2019, when the solar and lunar calendar matched. All three are not listed as public holidays, but it is customary for people to have leave from work. I'm going to talk about the origin first before I get into, like, the actual, like, what happens on each day thing, just to kind of, like, give you guys a backstory. So, Origin was a ghost festival of China, which is a combo of Buddhist, Ulambana, and Taoist Zenglian religions. Like, it's, like, all a combination of that.
Okay. We do like a good Franken
holiday, yeah. Obon is actually a shortened version of Ulambana, and in Sanskrit that means upside down.
Huh.
It implies great suffering.
Aww.
This festival is used to make better the suffering of the Urabana. It originates from the story of Maha Madgalayana, which was a disciple of Buddha. Shortened version of the name is Mukurin, and I'm just going to say Mukurin the rest of the time.
That seems like a good
idea. It's going to be a lot easier for me. Who used supernatural powers to look upon his deceased mother to discover she had fallen to the realm of hungry ghosts and was suffering. And the hungry ghosts were called Preta, which are a type of supernatural being described as undergoing suffering greater than that of a human, particularly with extreme hunger and thirst.
Oh, that sounds awful.
Yeah, so he was upset by this.
I would be too.
Yeah, so he went to Buddha and asked how to release his mother from that realm, and Buddha instructed him to make offerings to the many Buddhist monks who had just completed their summer retreat on the 15th day of the 7th month. Murukin did the offerings and saw his mother's release. He also began to see his mother's selflessness and the sacrifices she made for him during her lifetime. Because he was so happy with his mother's release, Mukurin danced with joy, which created the Bon Odori dance, when ancestors and their sacrifices are remembered and appreciated. Because of the heat of summer, typically people wear yukata, which is the light cotton kimono. Many celebrations include a carnival with rides, games, and summer festival foods. So, Obon is the Japanese summer festival of welcoming back ancestor spirits and returning to the family roots, which lasts 4 to 5 days. Around August 15th is normally where they do it. August 13th is called Mukebi, which is called the welcoming fires. People make small bonfires in front of their houses or homes to guide the spirits upon their return home. The deceased altar is decorated with memorial tablets, fruits, flowers, and sweets. Mostly in the countryside, some regions also prepare horses made of cucumbers and cows made of eggplants with sticks for legs, which I thought sounds adorable.
It does sound cute.
It symbolizes symbolizing the horse will help spirits return home as soon as possible, while the cow will take them back to heaven slowly as soon as the festival's over. Most start the festival with a visit at the cemetery to clean the family's grave and pray that the peace to the deceased family wherever they are.
That cow thing reminds me of Fruits Basket.
Doesn't it? So the practice of cleaning the grave is called Ohaka Mairi. That's August 14th through 15th. there's the Hoyo or the Kyuyo, where families following tradition invite a Buddhist priest to their homes or visit a temple or shrine to recite a sutra and perform a memorial service. Afterward, they have lunch together, recalling old stories of beloved deceased. The meal is called Shijin Ryori and is purely vegetarian, usually including stewed beans, spinach, soy sauce, and sesame, or pickled cucumbers. Not something a beastess would eat.
I would not eat it. It sounds like something you'd at least try, though, because you'd be intrigued.
I would try it, yeah. On the 16th of August, it is called Okuribi, which is the conclusion of Obon with another bonfire, meant to see the ancestor spirits off to the netherworld. In many areas of Japan, people will organize bonodori dances. Originally, they were held for the deceased. Now the dances symbolize the summer festivals themselves. Mm. One of the most famous bonfire festival parts of this tradition is the Gozan Okuribi in Kyoto. All right, so the Okuribi sending fire sends ancestors back to permanent dwelling. See, I put for the Bonodori dance, it's nearly 600 years old for tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Originally, it was a folk dance to welcome spirits of the dead in various region to region. Outside of Japan, there's actually a lot of Japanese communities that still practice and celebrate this. Like, for example, in Argentina, on the sports ground of La Plata Japanese School, they do a whole festival for that. In Brazil, there's many Japanese communities throughout Brazil that celebrate, which I didn't find out until, like, I did this. Brazil has the largest home to Japanese population outside of Japan.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They also celebrate it in places in Malaysia and Japanese Americans, Japanese Canadians, in both Canada and U.S. Like, a lot of large Japanese communities around the world still celebrate this tradition.
I was going to say, I would not be surprised at all if there was a festival in Hawaii.
Oh, yeah. There probably is, and I just never got to go because I didn't know about it. Modern day, there was a concern this year for COVID due to fresh graves with the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And in America, some places did the tradition virtually so people wouldn't get sick. Yeah, so that's the Obon Festival. I thought it was really cool, especially since we were talking last week about, you know, celebrations in America. We don't have something like that.
Right.
That's all I've got for that. And we'll be back after this commercial break.
Sounds good.
All right. And we're back. You ready?
I'm ready. I'm talking about Yurei, which are Japanese ghosts.
Sweet.
Yes. So Yurei is spelled Y-U with a line over top, R-E-I. And generally in kanji, it's written with two symbols. And since you were doing Obon, I decided to research these because they just seem to fit so well.
Together?
Yes.
I'm glad.
So, another name that Yurei can go by is Shiryo, which is, like, a particularly bad Yurei. But not all Yurei are Shiryo.
Okay.
And they basically look like a transparent version of their living selves, wearing either what they were last wearing while alive, or what they were buried in. So what you'll see most in artwork is the white burial kimono, which is called a kyokatabira, or you might see them in uniforms of fallen soldiers. And they will generally have hair covering their face, like in the movies. If they are in their burial kimono, they will also have a tenken, which is the triangular headband. And they may be so see-through, or are generally so see-through, that you can't see their feet. Sometimes they show the wounds that caused their deaths, which I can imagine would be a little
gruesome.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then their hands, like their arms are bent, and their hands just kind of hang limply in front of them from the wrist. So the Yurei can invoke powerful curses.
Oh.
They tend to haunt either their place of death or burial, or if they're haunting a person, they'll haunt their murderers or a loved one, or like a loved one's home.
Oh, okay. That's not a bad thing, really.
It is, though, in Japanese culture.
Oh.
I'll get there.
Oh, damn. Okay.
So they can become stuck in the humor world until they're laid to rest. And this may require finding, like, a lost body, or passing a message on to a loved one, or bringing their killer to justice if they were murdered. If they haunt their living family, here you go.
Oh, great.
They can bring misfortune to them.
Oh, no.
Until they're put to rest. So it's not like how we talk about, like, oh, yeah.
I'll haunt you.
Grandma's who was here the other day.
Oh, no.
No.
No, that sounds bad. That sounds really bad. I don't like it.
Yeah. So this might require a priest to come exorcise the spirit, and an afflicted family may require a priest's help to save them from the misfortune. So traditional Japanese beliefs say that a person's soul leaves their body at death, goes to a type of purgatory, and then journeys to an afterlife, and this transition occurs after funeral and post-funeral rites, and with the help of prayers done by their family.
So they don't have a funeral, post-funeral rites.
And then prayers, like it's everything, then yes, they, in theory, would become a ghost.
Okay.
So with all the rites, the soul is reunited with its ancestors and becomes a guardian spirit for the family. So that's okay.
Okay. So there's like a difference.
Yes.
Okay.
These ancestors have shrines in their living family's homes where they are worshipped during the year, but also particularly at Obon Festival, when it is believed they can return to the physical world to reunite with their family. So I guess the problem is that if they don't get all the way to the afterlife first and then come back, it's a problem. Like if they get stuck in that middle area. So some types of people who may become yurei are those who don't receive their proper rites, people who die tragically, violently, or suddenly, people who have hate in their hearts or are holding a grudge, and like I was saying earlier, a shiryo is a malevolent spirit, and they can take loved ones to the grave with them.
Oh!
So, there's this art style called yurezu, and it's art of these types of creatures. And I saw this guy on TikTok a couple weeks ago saying that in his family and in Japanese culture, they put up pictures in their homes of the yurei to scare off bad spirits, which I thought was really interesting. But then when I was like trying to research the yurezu, I wasn't seeing anything that actually said that in particular.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know if that's like a wildly talked about thing, or maybe it's like everybody knows it there, so they don't think to write it down.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you can find yurei in like these days, besides in yurezu, which some people are still making in like the traditional Japanese way, but also in animes like Bloodlad and Noragami, Gintama, more. Like, they are all over the place.
Lots of them.
And not just the ones that are dressed like this in the funerary garb, but also there's ghosts and they're just not dressed in, like, the white kimono. And then they're also in movies like The Ring series.
Ugh, yes. And I know exactly what you're talking about.
Grudge and Spirited Away.
Okay.
So that is the yurei.
Oh my. Well, that was a nice creepy story. I'll tell you what. The first one I watched by myself was The Grudge.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in my parents' room. And it was a very big room with a very tiny TV. And it was pitch black around me while I was watching it. No nightmares.
I fell asleep during The Grudge.
Yeah. I was like, okay. And after that, I was like, well, maybe horror films aren't so bad. So here's my thing with horror films. I have to watch it all the way through so I see the resolution of it. Otherwise, nightmares galore. Because I think it's because my mind's trying to figure out
what happened,
how you would rectify the situation that person's in, or how it would turn out without knowing the ending.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's why it's very important for me. Like, if I watch a horror film for the first time, I need to know what the ending is Otherwise, they're just gonna get nightmares.
I'm gonna have bad dreams.
Gonna have bad dreams, yeah. Like, I think the one horror film that still wigs me out a little bit to this day is called The Thing. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure I've never made you watch it.
I don't think you've made me watch it, but I think we've talked about it.
Yeah. I think what freaks me out the most about it is, like, yeah, it's an alien life form, but, like, it's creepy because it has to do with, like, it's, like, more sci-fi than anything else. Because it's in the microorganism level, it's taking over your body and able to turn into whatever to try and, like, do whatever it wants. And it's creepy as heck when it's not in the form it's trying to be. If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
They did a really good job with their puppeteering or whatever when they made that film, but it's creepy.
Well, I think that's the purpose, so they did a good job.
Well, what really got me is, like, the first one that you see happen in that film is a dog. And that got me in some kind of way. Say that much. And then they actually made a movie about what happened before that movie happened.
Okay.
Because the way that movie starts, the one I'm talking about, I'm pretty sure it's Kurt Russell. I think it's Kurt Russell. That's one of the main characters in it.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, anyway. So, it starts off with the dog. Like, that's the beginning of the whole freaking film. Like, it's a helicopter following this dog in the middle of the Arctic trying to shoot it down. And you're like, why would you try to shoot a dog? It's rude. And turns out that dog's actually an alien trying to get its stuff together so it can rebuild its ship and leave.
Well, if it just wants to leave, why don't they leave it alone?
Because it's killing people. Like, the few people that are there, it's killing. And it's like, oh my gosh.
Is this the one from 1982?
Yeah.
I'm looking up the cast for you.
Please.
Yes, Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell. I love that film now, but the problem was I watched it when I was 12.
You watch a lot of things way too early.
Yeah, I did. I watched Aliens at the age of 8. No. And my dad and my uncle thought it was going to be okay because we watched the making of the film beforehand. And my cousin...
I'm giving her a face right now. That's not good logic.
My cousin Mitchell was like, well, you're not badass if you can't make it through this film. So I was like, all right, I'm going to sit tight. I mean, Sigourney Weaver, she's a badass bitch. So I'm going to be a badass bitch and take it. And I was having nightmares about those chest poppers for years.
Like, oh, that's not cute.
Yeah, it was not cute. Like, oh my goodness.
I think I was at least a teenager when I saw Alien.
Yeah, I was 8. My sister and my younger sister and my cousin, they were smart enough to leave the room. I was not. I was like...
You were double dog dared to watch
it. I basically was. I was double dog dared. It was just like I was double dog dared to watch The Mummy. I grew up mainly as a little kid watching the black and white ones.
Oh, yeah. Vincent Price.
Vincent Price in his Edgar Allan Poe movies, such as The Pit and the Pendulum. I loved him in that. Mm-hmm. Anywho. Yeah, I grew up on the old horror films. I'm pretty sure you haven't really watched those. Like, the old...
Not the Vincent Price stuff. We really weren't, like, a horror family, horror movie family. If we watched stuff like that, it was, like, the Addams Family stuff, which isn't actually a scary. Horror.
Yeah, it's more like a comedy, really. My mom, when we got older, she would take us to B-movies in theaters. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, we'd be, like, the only ones there. Like, for example, there was the movie The Fog.
Heard of it, don't think I saw it.
And then there's, like, The Descent. Did you ever... It was, like, where a group of girls go for, like, a hiking trip. Yeah, like, spelunking, and they end up, like, stuck.
I have seen that one, actually. And, I did not like it.
Yeah.
I have this thing... I'm pretty sure it's how I died in a past life. Like, I do not like being trapped. I don't like going into cities where I am not driving, where I have to use, like, public transportation, whether it be cabs, trains, buses. I do not trust it. I feel like I'm trapped. Even if the train, like my dad gets on me about this all the time, even if you're in New York and the train comes every 15 minutes, I still feel trapped. I can't do it.
Claustrophobic?
No, like I can't escape.
Oh, okay.
And I don't like feeling like I can't escape. So I have to be in like control of transportation, or I have to have a way of getting out.
What about all the planes?
Do you want me to never fly again?
No, I'm just asking about planes, because you've been on planes.
I have been on planes, and it's only because I had to travel 12-hour by plane places.
Like, to see me?
Yes, to see you. There was medication involved.
Heavy medication. And you were first class in some of it, weren't you?
To Hawaii, which was my first trip.
Yeah.
I didn't know what it was going to be like, so I had saved up my credit card mileage points to get first class.
Yeah. And you stayed with me the whole time, so it was, like, not nearly as expensive. Paying for hotels and stuff in Hawaii is stupid expensive.
Yeah.
We were talking about... Oh, the descent.
Oh, yeah.
And not wanting to get stuck someplace. No. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't even know why I would have watched that. Like, it's not my normal genre of things.
Of things to watch. And the other thing, you know, there's an alternate ending to that movie.
I don't want to know what it is.
I won't tell you. But there is. There is an alternate ending to that film. And it, like, the alternate ending is like, oh no, none of this. But anyway.
It's like, I also watched one, I can't remember what it was called, but there was one about plants, and it was a temple, like a Mayan or Aztec temple.
I know my sisters also watched that. I have not watched that one.
I can't think of what it's called. And then there was one which I don't think I realized was supposed to be a horror movie, called The Leviathan.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The underwater research.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, The Leviathan. Have you ever seen Eight-Legged Freaks?
No.
That is more of a comedy than anything else. It is ridiculous. It's basically like, for some stupid reason though, like every time we rented that film, my mom would do like try to do a jump scare on me from the couch, and I would jump every single time. It was like she was getting back at me for all the times I tried doing jump scares on her in the middle of a grocery store. And I can't. Anyway. On that tangent note.
This will be coming out the weekend before
Halloween. Before Halloween, yeah. So, cool. Like, get all your horror movies in, guys.
Well, yep, you're running out of time.
Like, I'm in certain moods for certain things in certain times of the year. For example, I went to go play God of War, the newest one, yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't find out until yesterday that it had been literally, like, almost an exact year to this, like, to this month that I had played that game.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit.
Had to restart because you didn't remember the buttons.
I did not remember the buttons. Like, I tried doing it in the middle, and then I restarted it, and then I accidentally erased my old save.
Yeah.
On the positive, though, because I have you to help me, she's like my eyes, and she's good at puzzles. So, like,
I love puzzles.
I'm the brute of the whole situation, where I just pound things, and I have decent reflexes, but... Leah is the one that's like, there's a shiny thing over there. And I'm like, oh, what's that? And then we all of a sudden end up in this, like, whole other place that we never looked at.
Yeah. That was pretty funny. We were like, oh, shit. We missed a huge section right at the very beginning.
Yeah.
That would have made it so much easier because you got so much coin to, like, upgrade your stuff.
In the very beginning. I'm looking at it and I'm like, I feel like such an idiot now. But there's the cool thing about this podcast. I just want to say that I appreciate that I can now appreciate mythological references now a lot more than I used to, because they did a pretty good, like, they took some artistic liberties with that game. However, I appreciate the lengths at which they did their stuff to figure it out. Please stay safe. We do have a grab bag episode coming up for the day of. There's going to be, I think that theme is going to be more of like a Slavic creatures and myths.
Yeah, like Central European.
Yeah.
I think we're both kind of around that. Mine's definitely Slavic.
Yeah, yours is definitely Slavic. Mine is...
A little more Germanic.
A little more Germanic, but it's still like there is some Slavic places that celebrate it.
Yeah.
So, regardless, keep your bootstraps on and get ready to listen to that next week if you're... not doing anything for Halloween and you're staying in and you do celebrate Halloween, then by all means, give us a listen. We have something in store for you. But anywho, without further ado, Leah, take it away.
reminders, everyone. Make sure to check out our art for this week's creature, which we did the Yurei on our Instagram at Coffee Table Mythos. If you want to share any art of your own, make sure to use our hashtag Coffee Table Mythos so that we and our followers can check them out. As always, if you have any stories or requests, please email us at coffeetablemythos@gmail.com. And remember to mention if you want a shout out of either a name or handle and where to find you, or if you would like to remain anonymous. You can also find us at our Facebook page, Coffee Table Mythos, and you can message us on here as well.
Check out our merch on Teespring at teespring.com/store/coffee-table-mythos. We are adding more listings as we research more creatures and make more art. If you would like to donate to us, you can on anchor.fm/coffeetablemythos, or you can become a patron through patreon.com/coffeetablemythos. For right now, all donations will go to making this podcast better. Thank you so much for listening. Please give us a like, follow, subscribe, and share and review our podcast if you have the time. We are interested in what you have to say.
I also want to add that depending on where you're looking at Teespring, it might be a slightly different link. Yeah. So if you're on your phone, it'll be with shop instead of store. Mm-hmm. But you can now find us on Google. We've gotten enough traction that it's popping up if you look up Coffee Table Mythos Teespring. And also, we added more listings. So there's now more coffee cup options.
Yeah.
And more tote bag. Hashtag tote life.
Yeah. We're still trying to get used to the whole maneuvering of the site. Mm-hmm. And we are deeply sorry if it takes forever for you to get some of your stuff if you do order off of there. It's not us. It's like literally all third party.
Yeah.
So
we put the designs up and then they send it out from their like area where they make it.
Yeah, the warehouse.
So like we ordered our own stickers.
Yeah, and our family members that ordered theirs got theirs before we've gotten ours. And I'm like, what is going on? Like,
it's a little crazy.
Yeah.
But the hoodies are great. We can say that because we have like two of them already.
Yeah, the hoodies, the ones that are the eco-friendly ones, chef's kiss, we love them. We actually like to wear them everywhere.
Yes.
They are so soft. Like, I can't even. Like, I actually want to buy another one for myself. Anyway, sorry for that tangent. Thank you so much for listening. Hope you all have a wonderful and safe week. This is Coffee Table Mythos. We'll catch you next time.